First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 24th, 2017. What child is this?
Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. I like that graphic, so I decided to put it up there. I'm going to remind you about, again, I'm going to tell you, I've told this story before. I'm reminding you about something that we've heard before. A 12-year-old girl in New York City this year was recognized, hailed, praised, pointed out in the media, on television, magazines, newspapers, because of an argument she had with a male classmate that almost turned violent. What was she arguing about? What is that? It's a McDonald's chicken nugget. That's a pile of McDonald's chicken nuggets. The little girl sat down for lunch, public school, and she'd gotten chicken nuggets for lunch that day. Someone had dropped it off for her, so the boy asked for one of her chicken nuggets. But she refused. These are my chicken nuggets. The little ones are just 6-packs. I'm not going to give it to just some kid who comes up and tells me about it. We pick up at this point. The police report says that after being denied once, the boy then followed the girl after school to a nearby subway station. The boy pulled out a gun and pointed the weapon at the girl's head. Incredibly, the police report says that the girl slapped the boy's hand away, told him to leave her alone, and went about the rest of her day. Police found and appropriately charged the boy for juvenile attempted robbery, and the chicken nugget loving girl of New York City quickly became an internet sensation. Wow! What a brave girl! What kind of child is that? Well, the story, earlier this year I used this story. Did you remember? Could you kind of catch on this guy? So you've heard the story before, still amazing, still something to talk about the courage and all the things that go along with that. In that way, this is like the Christmas story. Because the Christmas story, the story about Jesus' birth, is something that's not new. You've heard about this before. We can think about the amazing things that were associated, accompanying with it, the bravery that was happening, the courage that Jesus had. Because imagine leaving heaven, where you're surrounded by myriads, packs of 10,000. Myriad is like 10,000. So packs of 10,000 angels around you singing in your praise. And you have to come down and be a human. Whereas you can see from the earlier illustration we had about Amazon, humans, we're filled with anxiety. Because who knows what's going to happen? Why? Because you're hanging around with other humans. The more time you spend with humans, you have the best and the worst all together. We're going to look at Jesus today for these next few minutes. This sees that Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God for us. Jesus is the one who can save us. Isaiah 7:14, the verse we just looked at, sees the promise, the prophecy of Jesus is God with us. So we look at this thing, Isaiah 7 is a prophecy. I know what's going on with that. 700 years before his birth. This is how this verse comes in. Why is this verse there? Why is this verse we just looked at in our Bible? 700 years before his birth, Ahaz, king of Judah, who is not the best king there could have been, had a choice to make. Should he go to war? Southern kingdom and the northern kingdom were considering maybe they should go fight Syria, they should do this, they should do that, who knows what's going on. And so God sent him a prophet to help him with advice. Like the Bible has many good pieces of advice, the book of Psalms, book of Proverbs, sometimes specific things in the Gospels and the Old Testament. Somebody's once said, I repeat this all the time, that if you just did what the Bible said, that would solve 90% of the questions and decisions you have to make every day. So that was the case for him. God says, hey, you know, I'd like to give you some advice. He offered to give him a sign, any sign. He says, King, if you just ask Isaiah, ask me, Isaiah, as I'm speaking for God, for something special, God will do it for you so that you can see that God has the power to know the future and influence your decision. But like so many of us, there's things that God says that we don't necessarily like to listen to. They don't go with our plan. We don't like to do it. It's something different. And so Ahaz, the weak unbeliever that he was, rejected not only God's advice, but he rejected God's offer of encouragement, of giving him a proof that you can trust him. Anything you want. Grab it out of a hat, anything. He says, I'm not going to listen to God anyway, so what do I care what kind of sign he's going to give? Don't tell God you don't want to listen to what he has to say. This made God upset. And God said through Isaiah, that's fine, I'll go ahead and give you a sign anyway. The answer was that God would be with Ahaz anyway. Emmanuel was coming. This is who Jesus is, God with us. Even though we are who we are, God still comes to us. God reached out to us. God did not leave us behind. Knowing who we are, what we are, because he made us and he knows all the things that we have done. More than Santa, God knows everything that we have done. And God promised that he would send this encouraging sign anyway. So even though Ahaz didn't want to listen, God was still there because God intervenes in history. God intervenes in our lives. God has a plan for us. Jesus is also God for us. That other passage, which is in Isaiah chapter 7, the next passage is in Isaiah chapter 9. It's around the same era. God was going to advise Ahaz not to go to war. But he did anyway, and there was trouble. As a result of that, God used the war. Sometimes when you look at the Old Testament, God will use a war that was around Israel to accompany a promise or to fulfill his wishes. So God was going to use the war that was coming from the Syrians, where the Syrians would defeat many of their enemies, and some they would defeat Israel as well. But in the greater picture, this war would be some of God's punishment, some of God's wrath on his enemies. So God was going to have this war come across anyway. He wasn't going to stop it. What would happen to them during the war then? God is going to let this happen. He's not going to stop it. A lot of bad things are going to happen. But in God's eyes, this was the choice to make. But what will happen to me? I don't know about, if you think about this. If you watch, I watch the news. I see all these people who live in Syria, who live in Iraq, who live in Turkey, who live in Africa, and think, what would it be like to have wars going around you all the time? What's going to happen to you? Where are you going to sleep? Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to wear? So in the middle of this, during their time of darkness, and during the time of human darkness, God was not going to leave them alone. A light would emerge. There would be a child born, a light bearer. He would be the wonderful counselor. Wonderful meaning he would be supernatural. That word wonderful speaks about something that's not just, well, that's kind of neat, but something that's awe-inspiring, but actually something that only can be done by God, the wonders of God. He will bring counsel from above. He will be the mighty God. Remember, these people are in the midst of a war. Will God keep me safe? Does God have power to protect me? The word mighty is a derivative from the word warrior. God is going to fight on their behalf. He's the eternal Father. That doesn't mean that the Father and the Son are intermingled. We just talked about them being different individuals, but both God. The idea is that he is going to be the one who rules on behalf of his people in a fatherly way. Eternal Father, everlasting Father, forever, Jesus will function in a fatherly kind of capacity to his people, and he will be a prince who brings peace. And Jesus is the one who can save us. This speaks about Jesus, the child who grew to live a life of perfect obedience. He paid the penalty for sin to save his people from their sins. This is the child who is God himself and man, the last Adam. Followers of Jesus can depend on him. That verse we looked at from Philippians chapter 4. If we follow Jesus, we can depend on him to deliver the forgiveness that we sorely need. There are others that we encounter Christmas time who are like Ahaz. They've heard of Jesus. They've heard of his words. They've heard these things about, but they reject him. For them, there is still hope. You still say Merry Christmas. You still encourage them. Still give them, if anything, some special attention. Give them some mercy. Give them some patience. Tell them to look for hope in Jesus, because this is the only way to escape God's coming wrath. Both the hope and the wrath last for eternity. It's time to choose what we shall find. From our Bible, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Heard this a few minutes ago, which is translated, God with us. We hear about Jesus, think about Jesus so much, it's hard sometimes to think of him in a new way, a clear way, a way that teaches us anything. Someone's written this story, and I thought this was a good illustration of how we should think of Jesus. It's a once upon a time story. Once upon a time, there was a king who looked from his palace window and saw one of his children collecting flowers in a distant field. The king watched as the child collected the flowers into a bouquet and wrapped it with a royal ribbon of royal colors. The king smiled because the ribbon indicated the flowers were being collected as a gift for his own pleasure. Then the king noticed that the child, because he was a child, gathered not only flowers. From time to time, the child would add some weeds from the field and some ivy from the border of the woods and some thistle from the unmown banks of ditches. To help his laboring child, the king gave a mission to his oldest son who sat at his right hand. The king said to his eldest son, Go to my garden and pick from the flowers that grow there. Then, when your sibling comes to my throne room with his gift, remove all that is unfit for my palace from his bouquet. Make it fit by putting in its place the flowers that I have grown. The elder brother did exactly as the father had instructed. When the younger child came to the throne room, his brother removed the weeds, the ivy, the thistle, and substituted them with all the flowers in the king's garden. Then the firstborn son rewrapped the royal ribbon around the bouquet so that his sibling could present this gift to the king. With a beaming smile, the younger child entered the throne room, presented the gift, and said, Here, my father, is a beautiful bouquet that I have prepared for you. Only later would he understand that his gift had been made acceptable by the gracious provision of his father. We too can give gifts from the father because of what the eldest son, his eternal second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, has done for us.